This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the mindfulness meditation, Mindful Monday. It's good to see you, good to be with you. If you're new to meditation, I hope to give some guidance that makes sense. This is an activity that we can do as human beings, even if you're relatively young. You can do this. It's not really designed for children as such, but if there is a child listening, you might make sense of it. If you are a parent with a child nearby, no need to cover their ears. They may well indeed find this makes sense to do. That being said, don't make them do it. Just kind of let it play with them around. Same thing goes if you're somewhat old. And it goes for all of us. Just let the instructions play, see what you do. If you're interested in meditation, then this, I feel, is a very good way to begin and a great way to practice. So we use our ability to decide where to place our attention, and we do it in a really simple way. We focus on elements of conscious experience actually happening, so we don't have to conjure up some special experience or special elements of experience. Actual sensations are the name of the game. We want to focus attention on aspects of experience that are not painful. So we focus on sounds, on sensations connected with the normal breath. Try to keep the attention there. The reason for this is this mental activity, focusing attention on relatively neutral sensations, very often will create the conditions for really good states, more peace, more clarity, and so forth. With mindfulness meditation, when we notice the attention has drifted, which it will, then there is also that invitation, that permission to notice what's happening in those moments. So we don't have to struggle or be tense about keeping everything exactly right. You know, when the attention wanders quite naturally, it's part of intelligence, I feel. And so when we notice that, oh yeah, I was going to observe my breath for a while, but I've been daydreaming or planning and things like that, perfectly normal mental activity, then there's that invitation. Okay, what is happening? Just to recognize thinking, planning, worrying, maybe emotions, and so forth. So these are all part of mindfulness practice. And then it's a good idea to bring the attention back. So maybe the next in-breath as it begins. So yeah, let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin. Slightly deeper in-breath and out-breath. So this is just one way to begin, slightly deeper in-breaths and out-breaths. It's just one way to begin. We wouldn't want to work this hard for the entire meditation, so letting the breath be normal. We'll come back to the normal breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear right now. In the midst of everything else that may be going on for you, notice you can decide to focus primarily on sounds. And in this endeavor, we're not trying to hear everything or keep track. Just noticing some of the sounds taking place moment after moment. We're not trying to grab the sounds and get something out of them. Much, much simpler than anything like that. It's just this activity of paying attention, noticing. It's actually very doable. Does take some patience, willingness to try. So you can stay with sounds if you wish, come back to sounds whenever you wish. It's also good to practice with our bodies in a similar way. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body now, noticing physical, palpable sensations, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Just ordinary sensations, vibration, pressure, softness, whatever. So we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice sensations connected with the breath, the normal breath. Slight movement, rising, tensing in the abdomen, the chest with the in-breath. Flow of fine sensations at the opening of the nose. The out-breath, falling, softening, dissolving in the chest, the belly. Flow of fine sensations out at the nose. So again, we're not trying to get something out of these sensations. It's not like a mining expedition of some sort or anything like that. They're just handy elements of our experience. If for any reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, we can come back to sounds or focus somewhere else in our bodies, hands or feet. But usually the breath works pretty well. And so I invite you just to let your attention settle, rest, so to speak, somewhere, abdomen, chest, or nose, knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins. So, this is a difficult activity in part because it's so damn simple. We're used to much more complicated jobs. So our minds naturally look for more to do or to do it better. No, probably don't need to do it better. Just kind of stay with it, this breath, noticing something happening, the out breath. And then keeping in mind that indeed, because our minds want more to do, we'll end up daydreaming, planning, worrying, very normal. So we do not have to squelch this or figure out how to stop it. It's real. It's happening. It will happen. And quite naturally, our attention will get drawn. It might make sense. It might be weird. Why am I thinking about that? Right. So whatever, we kind of have that welcoming spirit. Just like, okay, this is life right now. And we do want to avoid kind of just letting one thought lead to another in a more or less habitual way. But again, that will also happen. We don't have to get tense here. But when we notice that opportunity, when we realize, okay, I'm daydreaming, I'm planning, we recognize that, we do include it in the meditation. And then usually it's best just to come back, keep it simple. Develop some concentration coming back to the next in-breath or wherever you're focusing. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. Thank you. It's so good to practice with you. Thank you for your practice. And yeah, if you are 6 years old and kind of manage to hang on in there, good, good. If you found it kind of boring after a few minutes, that's pretty normal also. And I should have probably said if you're 5 or 6 years old, just a few minutes is enough. But actually, the same message goes for everyone, whether you're 6 or 56 or 96. It's a very personal activity, and we can approach it with a lot of seriousness and a lot of playfulness at the same time. And if are motivated to look into meditation, then of course I encourage doing it and doing it consistently, but always with kind of an attention to what do I want to do right now? And obviously there are times to stay with it even when we don't kind of want to, but there are also times where we just use our own common sense and so forth. It's a very interesting activity. This issue of children, of course, my approach to meditation with children is, don't cover their ears, but also don't force it on them. Also, don't swear, note to self. But I'm pretty good at that most of the time. I don't now, but I used to have the view that, yeah, maybe some children can learn to meditate, but we want to err completely on the side of making it optional and so forth. And that's still where my heart is, but there are people working very hard to figure out how to bring this information, this education to children, to older children and teens and so forth. And obviously different levels of development are quite relevant to how that might be done. The reason my mind was basically changed in a conversation with some people working with younger people who are in the middle of things with them. And basically their argument was, look, the demands on kids' attention is so intense, and it's only going to get more intense given the technologies we have, that they have to have some sort of training in their own attention, in this skill that we have with our attention, even if it's just at the point of we have a choice where we place our attention. No matter what is happening, we still have a choice in those moments. And so, with social media, there at every moment, and this is, of course, isn't just for 8-year-olds, at every moment when we're kind of immersed in social media or something similar, we still have a choice in those moments as to where what we're paying attention to, and so forth. And again, I am not the one I'm to teach the 8-year-olds. But there are people working on it. Susan Kaiser Greenland has been a real pioneer, her book, The Mindful Child. But there are many, many people in the midst of working with kids trying to bring these principles to them. And Susan would, for instance, have children, 5-year-olds, lie on the ground with a toy on their belly and just kind of notice how, as they breathe, the toy, the doll, goes up and down on their belly. Kind of as a way to get a sense of, okay, there's something happening when I breathe that I can be aware of. Yeah, thanks, Weitz. Yeah, I'm not personally real negative about technology. I'm free associating now for a minute. Yeah, but let's not free associate too much. I have a friend, Kevin Davis. He's a successful businessman, has been a mentor for the undergrad courses many times. And he gave a talk to the undergrads a few years ago where about business and being a businessman and meditating and so forth. And one point he made even 3 or 4 years ago was even at that time, the use of AI was already so extensive in the construction of resumes that he said, I can't trust resumes anymore that I receive. And so I have to meet people in person to get any idea of who they are. And it's like, oh, this what his point wasn't this, but my takeaway from that moment was, that's a silver lining, right? People, given the intensity and the power of these technologies, there will at least be that potential silver lining of having to meet each other in person, right? And I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, most of us have had the experience of finding ourselves so immersed in some sort of technology, whether it's a social media or whatever, that we just like realize, oh my goodness, I know I need to meditate, right? I need a break from this. And so whether it's in interpersonal relationships or in our relationships with ourselves, I think, common sense can kick in. And it may kick in a big way with the younger generations, where I think I have seen this to some extent, where they're actually quite aware that they need an alternative. They need better training relative to the use of their own attention. So, Susan's book is called The Mindful Child. Weitz, I'm not sure how to say your name, but he's referencing a great resource also, the Center for Healthy Minds at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, for children, and great resource for many other things. Thank you. My mind is going in a bunch of different directions. But separate from like dealing with AI and things like that, it's just like my view is that there are some children for whom being 5 years old is going to be the perfect time, even to hear the instructions that I gave today. I don't have a lot of evidence for that, other than kind of a reflection on my own life and so forth. But very interesting how these things. And I really meant to underscore the fact that my mind was changed by people actually working with kids. We did this training in mindfulness facilitation. Some of you have done that. And once I was spouting off about children, blah, 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 pretty much the same as today. And I said, there probably are some ages where, the sort of level of development is just not appropriate, right? And I said, maybe sixth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. Forget it. Right. Their mind, their brains are busy doing other things, and it's not the time to meditate. And afterwards, one of the participants came up and said, "Yeah, Marv, I teach sixth graders. I've been doing this for 10 years with them." So it's like, yep, okay. So a lot to explore and share here. Thank you for your attention. It's good to be with you.
Thank you, Marv. Have a good week.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Marv.
Marv. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Marv.
Marv.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Marvin.
Marv.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Sam.
Marvin.
Thank you, Marv.
Yeah.
Well,
Thank you,
Marv, I'd
Marvin.
rather hear you free associate than watch most anything else.
Great comments in the chat too today about people's experience with as children. Thank you. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.